Hello and welcome. It is our number one of the podcast. And hour one dedicated to football. We had a doubleheader in Monday Night Football. This hour, all about them Dallas Cowboys. How about them Cowboys who played like flatulence in the Monday Night Football game? We pull out the very reliable Mahler scale of panic after the Cowboys get beat down in the starting debut of Andy Dalton as a Dallas Cowboy. We'll take a look inside what happened, the carnage from Monday night, that and more here in hour number one. Crumble, crumble, crumble. It's a Cowboy crumble cake. Welcome in the beginning of another edition of the Ben Mahler Show. We are in the air everywhere, coast to coast, border to border, and beyond on the vast Fox Sports Radio Network, emanating live from inside your head. Also, the Geico FSR Studios. We are live and local in your eardrums, as we like to say around these parts. With the good news about the Monday night doubleheaders, we will not hear from seven different people calling up with the Cowboy moniker before their name. Cowboy Dan, Cowboy Jim, Cowboy Bob, Cowboy Steve. None of those people will be calling up. They only call up when things go well for the Cowboys, and certainly this would not be the day to call up and gloat and be as proud as a peacock on sports radio. The Andy Dalton era underway. The floodgates have opened for the newest Dallas Cowboy quarterback in for the mangled Dak Prescott. And to say that got off to a rocky start is like saying the Grand Canyon's just a small little hole in Arizona. Okay, that is what's called an understatement. Right now, if you did not watch the Monday night doubleheader, maybe you did not, maybe you have a life and you had other things going on, we'll focus in on the Cowboy game because that was the second game. Now, Kyler Murray's getting a lot of love. I didn't think he played all that well. He did have a couple of touchdowns that were just horrifically defended by Dallas, and he ran for a touchdown, but it wasn't about him. It was the running game in general, and you could pretty much do anything you wanted against that Dallas defense. And by the end, the Cardinals got a 38-10 cakewalk victory. But before we anoint the Arizona Cardinals as a legitimate team, let's remember that just a couple weeks ago, they lost at home to the Detroit Lions. So how good could the Cardinals be? They are 4-2, though, on the year, even with that loss earlier to the Lions. The Cowboys, they dropped to 2-4 on the season. The better story, though, is in that losing locker room. So let us discuss. Now, what is your initial reaction here to the latest Cowboy debacle? And it was a fiasco for the Cowboys. So before I get into the meat of it, I want to turn to the patented Mahler scale of panic. Cowboy edition, 1 to 10, with 10 being you're the New York Jets when you wake up. Where are you at on the Dallas Cowboys on the Mahler scale of panic? I am at a 7. I am at a 7 on the Mahler scale of panic. And I'm not going any higher than that. There's some reasons. I'll tell you why I'm at a 7. My context on that. We've got the boondoggle, potatoes, and backhanded. And we'll tie all these things together in this Cowboy monologue. Now, Mike McCarthy, who to say he is doing a terrible job, is also selling it short. Mike McCarthy is swimming through some murky waters right now. The rotund former coach of the Green Bay Packers, and somewhere in Wisconsin, Aaron Rodgers is snickering and he's laughing on the inside about the downfall of Mike McCarthy. But we'll call a spade. The Cowboys right now are like Sam Darnold playing quarterback for the Jets. They're seeing ghosts. They're seeing monsters and demons and spirits. And it's not even the other thing. The Cardinals aren't even that good a team, but the Cowboys can't get out of their own shadow. They can't. They've hit a pothole, and they've watched the tire fall off. The axle's broken on the car right now. So what is Mike McCarthy going to do about it? Now, here is McCarthy after the game, ranting and raving. And he said the Cowboys right now, well, things are definitely going the wrong way. That is an understatement, and the worst of the worst.
We're the worst in the league taking care of the football. We're not taking in We're giving up more points than anybody in the league off of turnovers. It's frustrating to see the pattern here, you know, five of the six games this year. So we got to continue to work at it. You know, as I continue to learn this team, I felt like the preparation coming into the game was probably our best so far this year. But obviously that doesn't account for anything, particularly after a poor performance like tonight.
Yeah. So again, practice doesn't matter. Mike McCarthy singing the praises of practice. The Green Bay Packers, who got punched in the face by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they claimed they didn't play well because they didn't practice well. Well, Mike McCarthy's like, hey, we look good in practice. What exactly were they practicing? Were they coloring? Did they pull out some coloring books and they were like staying within the lines there? Is that what the Cowboys consider a good practice? My God. Now, I realize it's hard to look good when you're getting boat raced. It's hard. But the Cowboys' lack of enthusiasm at the start of the game there, before the snowball to hell started to go down the mountain, Zeke Elliott with two fumbles that handed Arizona 14 points. The officials missed an obvious and blatant pass interference call. That's a bad break for the Cowboys. It turned out to be an Andy Dalton interception, which also handed the Cardinals another touchdown. So it was like 21 points delivered on a room service cart. And this game reached full-on boondoggle status. Boondoggle, right? And Jerry Jones is going to have a nervous breakdown watching all of this, and he put his mark on it. Jerry put his stamp on it. He could have had anybody he wanted to coach the Cowboys. He had to get rid of Garrett. Nobody said that was the wrong decision to get rid of Jason Garrett. And this is the guy they go to, Mike McCarthy? And we're not sure exactly what he's doing. We assume he's getting paid a lot of money to coach the Cowboys, but what exactly he's coaching, we don't know. There is no silver lining other than one thing: location, location, location. The NFC East is a dumpster diving division, and that is why I cannot go higher than 7 on the Maller scale of panic, Cowboy edition, 1 to 10. I can't go higher than a 7 because someone is guaranteed of making the postseason with a horse crap record by default. We've seen the worst team ever to make the playoffs was the Pete Carroll 7-9 Seattle Seahawks. That's the worst team to make it. And the NFC East, the way it's tracking, you're looking at a 6-win team having a chance of winning a division. Now, they're playing each other in the division, so you figure either the Eagles or the Cowboys is going to roll off some wins here, and one of those two teams will end up getting to 6 or 7 wins. But that's where the line is. The bar is not high here. The bar is not high. Here's more from Mike McCarthy, who talks about the fact that he is obviously drowning right now as coach of the Cowboys.
Most importantly, I didn't coach very well. I have a continuing issue with ball security on my football team. Something I personally take a lot of pride in how it reflects how you play the game of football, and I'm not getting that done right now.
Yes, you can highlight that. You can put an exclamation point at the end of that. But the Cowboys are an interesting team to talk about from this perspective. They're bad. I like the bad teams anyway. I'm attracted to the bad teams. I like talking about bad teams, and the Cowboys are that. They're terrible. They're not the worst of the worst. There's a bunch of bad teams this year in the NFL. But the whole adversity thing, like, the Cowboys sucked with Dak Prescott. They apparently suck without Dak Prescott. But this also exposed some players on this team as putting soft in that Cowboy locker room. These guys felt sorry for themselves. Dak Prescott got hurt. And so they had a pity party. And like, oh, boo-hoo. And Andy Dalton took over. And you could just see it. And I wish that, of course, I'd known this before the game. I would not have bet on the Cowboys. But if I had, I would have gone the other way. I could tell 5 minutes in that game. 5 minutes in that game, I texted a buddy of mine and said, they're done. The Cowboys, they're not going to win this game. And the most I can hope for is it's close, but I don't even think that'll be the case. Now, part B of this, Mike McCarthy, you heard him say there he's doing a bad job. I feel like he's in the kitchen and he's serving potatoes, funeral potatoes, before every game. It's like, because the Cowboys look like they're getting ready to go to the morgue when they're playing these games, and they're decomposing quarter after quarter after quarter is what's going on. And so the whole thing about McCarthy is you're supposed to coach them up, right? This is a great opportunity. A top-line coach will look at this Cowboy team and say, my God, this is a great chance for me to look like a genius, right? For me to coach these guys up, scheme these guys up. And Andy Dalton is going to get a lot of grief. Andy Dalton is an average NFL quarterback. He's not the worst quarterback. He's certainly not the best quarterback. Nobody's going to say that. But he is a proven commodity in the NFL. You can win games with Andy Dalton as your quarterback. You can make the playoffs with Andy Dalton as your quarterback. Cincinnati did it. They didn't win any playoff games with Marvin Lewis, but they made the playoffs. Now, the difference is Marvin Lewis had some ferocious defenses that the Cincinnati Bengals had. The Cowboys have a matador defense. You would rather put cheese curds out on the field to stop the other team than what the Cowboys are doing right now. It is pathetic. It is anemic. There was one of those pass plays. I think it was the, I'm trying to remember which one. It was in the third quarter of the game, and the late third quarter, might have even been the early part of the fourth. I think it was late third quarter, and DeAndre Hopkins had a 60-yard catch and run. Just a ridiculous play there. And on that play, one of the Cowboy defensive players literally turned himself into a circle. He did a full circle as he tried to get into position to make the play. And it's the same kind of quality of like 5A high school football. And you got to own it. You got to wear it. Now, as far as Andy Dalton is concerned, he sucked. He was bad. One of those interceptions was not on him. That should have been a penalty. It was a bad job by the officials. He attempted 54 passes, Andy Dalton did in this game, and he completed 63. The final numbers weren't horrific. He only averaged, though, less than 5 yards per attempt, which is not good. Here's Dalton after the game, waxing poetic and pointing out that this was a room service delivery situation. The Cowboys gave the game away.
You want to start early and get into a rhythm. You know, we had a couple three and outs, and we had a good drive together, and unfortunately we had a turnover there, and then, you know, it felt like we moved the ball and did some good things early on. We just, you know, like I said, we kept handing it to them, and then starting the second half, same thing.
Yeah. Okay, last word here. So former Dallas star Dez Bryant, who it appears will not ever play again in the NFL at this point, Dez Bryant summed up the state of the Cowboys on a tweet which he has since deleted. He said this while patting himself on the back. Yeah, I'll tell you what he said here in a second. But Dez was commenting as the Cowboys were getting their face bashed in with a baseball bat. Dez sent a cryptic tweet as the brass knuckles were being shoved into the face of the Cowboys. He said that Dallas could have had Jalen Ramsey and Derrick Henry if only they had listened to him. That's what he implied here. He implied that when he, Dez Bryant, is evaluating players, he never looks at physical ability. Instead, it's all about desire and passion, which is a wonderful backhanded shot at Zeke Elliott and Jerry Jones, among others. Right? How else can you interpret that? Because he's saying, hey, Zeke Elliott, he doesn't have the desire. He does not have the passion. That's what Dez Bryant's applying. And who would disagree with him on that? Somebody for the Cowboys should tell Zeke Elliott to hold on to the football like he holds on to his bong. Don't let up on the football. My God, what is going on here? The fumbleitis has taken over. He's got the yips. He's got the yips. Zeke Elliott has been putting the bug on the rug all over the place. But Dez Bryant, well, he did this and he deleted it, and it was really a pat on the back how great he is. He's not wrong. Like, one of the secret ingredients that the Patriots have had over the years, they haven't had the most talented players, but they've had players that have desire and passion. Jerry Jones is all about physical ability. Jerry Jones, as the general manager, when he's drafting guys, he wants the Adonis-looking guy that can win the track meet, but doesn't necessarily really have any desire to be a tremendous NFL player or any passion for football. And it's the same thing, rinse, wash, repeat, year after year after year after year. And the good news is that Jerry Jones at this point, I saw a photo of him. He was on TV, actually. He looks like a cyborg. I think Jerry's had some work done. He's a cyborg, so he'll never die. So this is going to be the Cowboys forever. Jerry will be the owner forever and ever and ever, and the same thing's going to happen over and over and over and over and over and over and over. If you were ever going to fire someone, that would be the type of performance against the Cardinals where you would fire somebody. I'm going to go out on a limb and say Jerry's going to do nothing, and the only time we'll hear from Jerry will be on his call-in radio show, and that'll be that. All right, it is the Ben Maller Show. You want to talk about any of the things we just talked about? We'll open up the phone lines here for you at 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369 if you'd like to be part of the show. Also on any of the social media channels, Twitter at Ben Maller, Instagram Ben Maller on Fox, the Facebook page Ben Maller Show. 'Twas the night before, or the day of, depending on how you look at it, the 2020 World Series, which will be going on Tuesday night. America's team, the Dodgers, taking on Tampa Bay. We thank Tampa for beating the Astros. Good job by them, but we're excited about the World Series, which starts on Tuesday. Dodgers, the favorite, which means bupkis. It means bupkis because you still actually have to go out and win the damn games and not have Kershaw puke all over the mound or Kenley Jansen have diarrhea in the ninth inning of a game. All right, straight ahead. Saved by the protocols. Saved by the protocols and the Lord of Mediocrity. We'll get to that and we will do it next.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
There's nothing more powerful than the unified voice of the Maller Militia. Get the most out of the Ben Maller Show by following your host on Twitter. He's at Ben Maller. And you can tweet at and follow me, Eddie Garcia, your humble sidekick, the voice of reason. I'm at Eddie on Fox.
Use that whip on me.
And now live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio Studios, it's Ben Maller.
Cowboys smashed, blown to smithereens by the Cardinals. There was something missing, though, that is a tradition. Now, if you pay attention to the NFL, even if you're not a Cowboy apologist, there's something that is a staple of a Dallas Cowboy loss that is a rite of passage for those of us in sports radio, especially doing the overnight show here. When the Cowboys lose a primetime game, what do we always get? We don't get it this year, but we always get it normal times. That's right. The Jerry Jones State of the Cowboys address outside the locker room. But Mike McCarthy was saved by the protocols. You imagine the kind of bullcrap that Jerry Jones would have been saying after that performance by his beloved Dallas Cowboys? Would have been great. Would have been amazing. We didn't get any of it, though. We did not get any of it, unfortunately. As far as the buyer's remorse and the Lord of Mediocrity, that would, again, be the Cowboys owner, Jerry Jones. Since the Cowboys last won the Super Bowl with Barry Switzer as their coach, since the last Cowboys Super Bowl, which was many, many, many years ago, none of us were alive, the Cowboys have played now 391 games since their last Super Bowl win with Jerry Jones calling the shots. He's the grand poobah of Cowboy football. The Cowboys have won 204 games and lost 187. They have a barely over 500 winning percentage. They're plus 17 games in all these years since the last time they won the Super Bowl. And you go way, 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 way back in the hot tub time machine. And Jerry Jones, the one constant, has been Jerry. Jerry doing his thing, living large and in charge. The last time the Cowboys won the Super Bowl was 1995. So in the 25 years since Jerry Jones put the Cowboys in the Super Bowl and won it with Barry Switzer as the coach, since that point, the Cowboys have won 17 more games than they've lost. They're right in the middle of the bell curve is where they are. That is the reality. Let's see what the masses are saying here. El Guapo from the Bay writes, and he says, Ben, I'm drinking a bottle of Jameson on the eve of another Dodger World Series loss. Beautiful. He says, the Niners took care of your Rams, and the Rays will take care of your Dodgers. Well, let me tell you something right now, El Guapo. predictions. Let me tell you how useful El Guapo predictions are. You're going to need to go out to the Amazon and get some of that ayahuasca, and you're going to have to smoke some of that ayahuasca after the Dodgers win the World Series. You'll be sniffing glue. You'll be so upset by the Dodgers winning the World Series. It's going to happen. They're going to win the World Series. It's going to happen this week, by the end of the weekend. I want to make sure it ends, though, on like either – it can't end on a Saturday. It's got to end either on a Friday. Actually, no, it's got to end either on a Thursday, Sunday. No Friday, no Saturday, because that wouldn't help us out. Robin Vegas says, how do you feel going into the World Series about your squad? You've got the first ballot Hall of Famer, Clayton Kershaw, leading your crew to the field for game one. Do you feel good about that, or does it give you some trepidation with Kershaw setting the tone? Listen, I'm going to sit back here. I'm going to have a margarita. I'm not going to worry about any of that. The Dodgers, Kershaw will find a way to F it up. Guaranteed. But the good thing is I look at that Tampa Bay Rays lineup, and I don't see a lot of wow. Randy Arozarena has been great. But some of these other, I know by the end of the World Series, I'll probably be like, oh, crap, that guy killed us. You know, Brandon Lau, you know, killed us, or G-Man Choi and all. But I, going in, Roberto, am I wrong here? I look at this, I'm like, this does not seem intimidating to me.
Their lineup's not very scary, man, but still, they were the number one team in the American League for a reason.
Well, the key, though, you can't be walking guys, because if you start walking them and then all of a sudden they get a couple of hits, they get a two-run rally going and all that. Just don't walk anybody. Throw strikes. Let them hit it. They're not that good.
Yeah, the walks in the playoffs always seem to be worse sometimes even than giving up a hit, because it just like totally rallies a whole team around. And Kershaw will be fine as long as he goes five, as long as he doesn't pitch into the sixth. If Robert sets a pitch into the sixth, then there's going to be trouble. That's his worst inning of his career in the playoffs, sixth inning.
Okay. And we don't think Tampa Bay's cheating. We don't believe they're cheating. We haven't heard they're cheating, so that's good too.
Yeah.
That's good. The last two World Series the Dodgers have been in, the other team was cheating. So this is, I believe, the first legitimate World Series where it's a level playing field, unlike in 2018 when the Astros' Alex Cora went to Boston and spread his disease to the Red Sox, or in 2017 when the epicenter of debauchery, the den of inequity, the Houston Astros were in the World Series. So we could hear that in the World Series video, the banging on the trash cans and all that. So I don't think we'll get any of that in this World Series in Arlington. The burner account writes and says, good job by you, Benjamin. Great monologue. The Cowboys are cursed. They won't win a championship as long as Jarrett has air in his lungs. Wow. Well, I'd like to thank Jerry Jones, because I've been doing this job for a while. In fact, I kind of correspond with the Cowboys since their futility there in the mid-90s when I started in sports radio. So I've had plenty of opportunities to master the Cowboy suck monologue. Plenty of opportunities. David writes in, he's bitter and broken in Ohio. He says, all right, Maller, you obviously refuse to talk about the black and yellow elephant in the room, the undefeated Steelers. But one thing nobody mentioned was when that bum Tom Brady can give Aaron Rodgers a hug, smooch, and a handshake after Sunday's game, but yet can snub poor old Nick Foles. We all saw that. What do you want me to say? I mean, Brady's a weird dude. I mean, he's got some strange qualities to him. If you don't know, read some books about it. There have been plenty of things written about Tom Brady, from the diet he's got with the avocado ice cream.
I have no knowledge of anything.
The therapeutic pajamas. Remember that Facebook show and the weird interactions that, not a lot of people were like, eyebrows were raised the way he was kind of parenting. It was a little weird there. Some of the smoochy that was taking place. Yeah. I mean, the guy brags about drinking 25 glasses of water per day with added electrolytes. He's convinced himself that the reason he's so good is because of muscle pliability, that is the reason. And maybe it is. I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's not, but he believes that. He thinks that all you need is a vibrating spear, therapeutic pajamas, a foam roller, a weighted vest, 25 glasses of water per day with electrolytes. You're good to go. And don't forget the berry and banana smoothie pre-workout. It's very important. Very important. And you've got to have avocado and eggs. Doesn't he have that for breakfast every day? It's like the same foods every day. Salad, nuts, and fish for lunch. Hummus and guac with mixed nuts as a snack, and then you have some kind of roasted vegetables and chicken for dinner. Tom Brady diet. But what a terrible way to live, by the way. I mean, we're all going to die anyway. Tom Brady's going to die just like I'm going to die, and you're going to die. And boy, are we enjoying good foods on our way down, aren't we? I mean, come on now, please. All right, let's go to the phones. The people would like to speak, and let's say hello to, let's see here, eeny, meeny, miny. Let's go to Canella. Actually, hold on a second. I'm going to go to you in a minute here. I saw the time. I got carried away. I thought we were doing commercial-free radio.
You are on time, Maller. I was going to say.
Yes, I am.
I want to hold up.
I got
on
a little carried
call.
Away. I'm sorry, Eddie. I got so excited. I was ranting and raving like a lunatic. That's a bad job by me.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
All right, Ben. So I was looking at the internet there, try and find some things to talk about.
The internet. Yeah. What's the internet? Who invented the internet? Al Gore?
I don't know. I heard that. I don't think that's true. But I saw this headline on CBSSports.com. It said Patrick Mahomes breaks NFL record passing Dan Marino. I said, wow, I don't remember hearing about this on the broadcast. Let me click on that. I think this is silly, but I'm going to pass it on anyway. So Patrick Mahomes apparently has broken an NFL record. The record is most career touchdown passes. Oh, actually, let me correct myself. Hitting the 90 career touchdown passing mark in the fewest number of games. That's the record he broke that was held by Dan Marino. Now, Dan Marino threw 90 touchdowns in his first 40 games of his NFL career. Patrick Mahomes hit the 90 touchdown pass mark in this win over the Bills, and he did it in just 37 games. So he now has the record for fastest to 90 touchdowns.
He's better than Dan Marino.
That's exactly right. That's exactly what that means, Roberto.
He already is better than
Well, he does have a Super Bowl. I don't think Dan Marino's ever going to get one of those. But
You don't?
No, I don't think so.
Isn't he? He's an ambassador with the Dolphins, right?
Remember when he was GM of the Dolphins for like a day?
Yeah, but he's back. I saw him on the sidelines after Tua came into the game. They had a shot of Marino. I was watching the. Don't ask me why I was going to say the Jets Dolphins game, but I happened to have it on. And there were only two late games, so I had both of them up, and I was going back and forth. I mean, it was a terrible game. But, Marino was on the sidelines. He's got some cushy job. But as you used to work at, you've told the story before you got into radio, you worked at Stats, Inc., right?
That's right. I did.
And so there's a whole cottage industry now when anybody who's a top young player in football or any sport, you have to find an all-time stat, right? And if you slice the stats apart, right, this is a cottage industry. If you slice the stats apart enough and you do it by age or by team, you can always find some record that's being broken every week. Am I correct? I believe I am.
Pretty much. But yeah. And as the online dentist, or the TV dentist, I should say, not online, the commercial
the
dentist that used to work here,
yes,
as he liked to say, and it was accurate, we only care about the round numbers there.
That is true.
Nobody said, well, who's quickest to the 89 touchdown mark, right? It's 90. It's got to be a round number.
Yeah, and they've determined that humans love round numbers, and there's different theories on that. We've talked about this before. I read a study on it because Looney used to say this all the time, that they think it's related to the evolution of human beings, because when you were learning how to count, you have 10 fingers, right? Well, actually, you have 8 fingers and 2 thumbs, but 10 fingers. And so there's this argument about that, because we have 10 fingers for counting, it drives the obsession to like round numbers, of base numbers and all that.
Well, then shouldn't they have waited like another like 2-3 weeks to see if he was the fastest to 100 touchdowns? Because that would have sounded cooler.
No, yes. Need a stat right now, Coop. You got to get a stat out there right now. The mass.
That's right.
Is the
if
man
he does,
stat.
If he doesn't hit it, then the stat is, you know, there's no stat.
Yeah. Right. Then you can give that.
But I agree
stat.
With you, Coop.
You give the stat now, and then you give the 100 stat. You give the 100 stat coming up. 90's a round number, but then you go to 100, and then
90's on CBSSports.com, and 100 will be on the
Fox,
the bigger
something.
Websites. Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. It is the Ben Maller Show as we press on here, taking your phone calls here at 877-99-FOX. Ed, I'm happy to report here, Eddie, that I have now received 2 votes for the President of the United States here, members of the Maller Militia. I don't think this is what the NFL, NBA, and Major League Baseball had in mind when they said get out and vote. but Ed from Spokane.
You don't think that they want you to vote for anyone? They just want you to vote, Ben. It's not for a specific person. It's just go out and vote for anyone, right?
Yeah, I guess.
No, that's not.
No.
It's not what it is.
Well, Ed from Spokane has just sent me a screenshot of his ballot, and it does. He has as a write-in candidate Ben Maller, and it shows him there appears to be, I guess, where he's dropping off the ballot there, and he said, rocking the vote. Rocking the vote. Well, so is there a website? I'm seriously, serious question, because I know we've done this thing with Doc Mike over the years where Doc is a fringe write-in candidate for the White House, and is there a way we can check how many of these votes we actually got? There must be a way you can check on a national database. Not that I want you to vote for me. I'm not telling you to vote for me. Vote for whoever you think should be the president, but if you think it's me, why not? The blind Scott Hotties voted for me also. How about that?
Yeah, I would think there would have to be a minimum number, much like the round number discussion we just had, before you get on some sort of a list. Or else, I mean, there would be thousands of people that write in some dumb name.
Well, I'm sure there, but don't the tabloids usually every year have a list of some of the dumb names? I'd like my dumb name to be on there. I think
that's going to happen.
You're a negative person, Eddie. You're a negative person.
I'm a realistic person. Yeah.
Canella's not negative.
Oh, is that right?
Canella's not. Yeah, this guy, let me tell you something. He ate the Maller. He was in Denver. He had the Maller sandwich. He had the sandwich, Eddie. Get your mind out of the gutter. He had the sandwich in Denver, one of the Maller-themed dishes there, the chicken sandwich on the menu there.
Canella, how'd Maller taste?
Mr. Maller, what's going on, my man? How are you?
Tasted very bitter.
Canella, that was a cheer up. That was a cheer up sandwich, right, Canella? Because you were depressed because you are the number one fan of Cam Newton, Yeah, you were devastated because Cam played like crap. So you had to go out and self medicate with the Maller sandwich.
Absolutely, and it filled the spot. Just real quick, man. Thank you for the retweet. The Sportsbook Bar and Grill makes a great Maller. So shout out to the restaurant manager over there, Mr. John. Him and I would both love to say hello next time you're in Denver, Colorado. Quick question for you. So you have a sandwich that's named after you. How about a drink? I'll give you back the floor and any ingredients or mixtures that you would like for us to know.
Well, yes. Well, no.
Thank you. No, Canelo's been listening a lot the last couple of weeks. Yeah.
He's a B1. No, Canelo, this is already the wheels are in motion here, Canelo. We've got a restaurant about 70 miles outside of Denver. And I forget the name of it, but Shell Shock is working on that. And we've already decided it's going to be called the Maller Maneuver. We don't know what it's going to be. I think we'll go with like whiskey. We talked about whiskey the other day. We're trying to figure out a drink that will sell a lot. Like,
you said something about margarita, so I wasn't too sure.
No. Well, we could call it, somebody did say the Mallorita. We could call it the Mallorita. We decided on the Maller Maneuver. But I'm not sure what kind of alcohol it's going to be. What do you like to drink there, Canella? If you were to choose your favorite alcoholic beverage, your adult beverage, what would it be?
I would say margarita. I would say tequila. So anything with tequila is fine with me.
So tequila. All right. So, I mean, we've got there's like the hierarchy of alcohol. You've got the tequila, the whiskey. You know, old school would be scotch and bourbon, something along those lines. So those are like the big ones. But I want the Maller Maneuver to be as big as the Cosmopolitan or the Gin and Tonic or the Martini. I want this to be a major drink.
There you go. Well, we're working on it. So we'll be here when you get here back.
All right, buddy. There's the great Canelo. You enjoyed the sandwich.
It could be a mix of whiskey and tequila. How about that?
You can mix it and make it. What are some other big? The Pina Colada, that's a big cocktail, right?
Do you want a fruity drink named after you?
Well, they sell a lot of those
things.
Something
hardcore.
Well, I understand, but I want to sell a lot of beverages. I want to help out a restaurateur or a bar owner that's going to put my name on something. I want to put a piece of crap on the menu that nobody buys.
Fruity drink.
Well, maybe I'm a fruity guy. What's wrong with that, Eddie? Come on.
I agree.
All right. Anyway, straight ahead, we got the World Series pick. No pitchers. We're just going to pick three position players. We'll get to that. Also, here's the Who Am I game. This is a blatant attempt to get you to listen a little bit longer. Thus, it's the Who Am I game. Derrick Henry became the fifth player in NFL history to have multiple touchdown runs of 90-plus yards in their career. I was the first player in NFL history to have multiple 90-plus yard touchdown runs in my career, first of all time. Who am I? The answer next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Raccoons, skunks, porcupines, and owls are all nocturnal. None of them can support our show on social media, though, so we need your help. Go to Facebook.com/Ben Maller Show and on Instagram, go to @BenMaller on Fox, and you can contribute to weekly features such as Ask Ben, Lame Jokes, and more. And now live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller.
And time now for the Who Am I game. Here it is. Derrick Henry becoming just the fifth player in NFL history, the Titan running back, to have multiple touchdown runs of 90-plus yards in their career. I was the first player to do it twice. Who am I? That is the question. And what is the answer? We have the World Series pick'em coming up here in a couple minutes. Your sports source is going with Jeffrey Toobin. I saw he was on the front page of the New York Post, the Tuesday edition of the New York Post. I just got sent the copy of that. Who do we have here? Jeff is going with the Pony Express, Eric Dickerson and Craig James. Harvey Williams from The Legal Tamperer. William the Refrigerator Perry tossed out by Travis. That's his answer. Who else do we have? Page down, page down. The Big Red Machine Kane from Rob in Vegas. Eric in Omaha is going with Mr. Spacely as his answer. Larry Zonka from Steven. Hulk Hogan tossed out by the Pokey 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 Man, Adrian. That's his guess. John Riggins from Miguel on Fire. Who else? Page down. Page down. Larry Zonka from Malibu Rubin. Mr. Nice Guy is going with his favorite Middle East dictator, Saddam Hussein. Page down. Boy George from the Real Martin at the airport in Denver. Robbie, the Mariner fan, is going with the entire Atlanta Falcons roster as his answer. Troy in Seattle says Leroy Horde is the way to go. Marshawn Lynch from Jason in Rocky Mountain, Virginia. All right, Eddie, what's the answer, Eddie?
The answer is famous Amos Zaraway.
Oh, no, Eddie. Believe it or not, it's Tecmo Bo Jackson with the Los Angeles Raiders back in the day. And that leads us to, that's right, the World Series Pick'em. We're going to pick three players, and I'm told I'm going first. Woohoo! With the first pick, Team Maller is going to select. I'm going to put the Maller jinx on this guy. I'm in it to win the World Series. I don't want to win this. Randy Arozarena of the Rays. I want him to suck. Go ahead,
Shocking Coop. Pick.
I'm going to go with Mookie Betts.
Wow.
Mookie!
All right, Roberto.
I'm going with Corey Seager.
All right, the board has held. Eddie, back to back, Eddie.
Give me Manuel Margot and Cody Bellinger.
Wow. Oh, man, interesting. All right, and back to you, Roberto.
We're in the jinx of this guy, Brandon Lau.
Brandon Lau, ow for Lau. Ooh. Coop.
Max Muncy.
All right, you can take him.
Yeah.
I'm going to jinx more Rays. G-Man Choi, you're going down. And Austin Meadows, you're doomed. Coop.
Coop.
This is the tough part.
The redhead gnome guy.
Okay, the redhead gnome guy.
Justin Turner.
Yes, Justin Turner.
I'm going
Big Willie style, Will Smith, baby.
Eddie.
Mike Zunino.
Jinx on Mike Zunino.
A catcher?